the one place where news, opinions, and entertainment are the way you like it. This is Rant EM Radio.
Welcome to Rant and Wrestling. It's your boy Doomsday 519, and this is episode 212. Yes, 212. And with me, as usual, is my partner in crime, hailing from the West Side Goth.
Yay, yay!
Oh yeah. See, he's got a little more pep in his step this go around. I see.
Yeah, I didn't just wake up 3 minutes before we started this.
Oh, man. See, before we started this, okay, so my whole, okay, so I had my birthday on Saturday. Like, I didn't do shit, but, like, all through it, I was, like, thinking about how to fix the lawnmower. So, like, after that day, Sunday rolls around, I'm like, screw it, let me work on the lawnmower all day. So, I did it. So I did everything I could, changed the spark plugs, added stabilizer, cleaned out the bowl for the carburetor, took the carburetor out, cleaned the shit out of it, with the cleaner and all that stuff, and still it would not work. And all through that, I was like, really, like, pulling on the string over and over and over again, so, like, my hands, like started, like, getting fucked up, so, like, ever since Sunday, I can't touch, like, the pads of my, like, fingers and without it being in pain and shit. So, I think, it was yesterday, I said, fuck it, and bought a new mower, a $200 mower, and, even that one, I finally tried to work today, and it took forever for it to start. My brother was able to get it to start after I couldn't pull that shit anymore. But that is what I ended up doing before this, and it was a pain in the fucking ass. Yes.
I don't think Hank Hill would be happy with you.
Oh, why? Because of gasoline?
You know, he's very, very much a lawn mowing man.
Oh, yeah, he loves propane products.
Yes, and propane accessories.
Yeah. Oh, man, shit, that shit, like, really fucking drained me. Fuck that shit. I hate that. I fucking hate mowers. And then, like, they have these, like, new things, like, the past, like, how many years because the thing is that the mower that I've been using, I've been using for well over a decade. Yeah, well over a decade, and it's not until this year that I found out that when you fill up gasoline, you have to make sure that it has, like, 10% ethanol or less. Because anything more than 10% starts to really fuck up the engine. May not be the carburetor, but, like, the actual, like, engine may actually, like, fucking fail. So I think that might have been what happened. So, like, I didn't know. And then, like, I think that became a topic of discussion, like, 6 years ago. So, I'm surprised the mower lasted this long. So, yeah, man. So, that's some bullshit. Fuck all that special shit. I don't know why they... Because then they start talking about buying stabilizers for it, that you got to put gasoline, like, to treat the gasoline as well, to prevent it from doing all sorts of shit to the engine. It's too much. It's way too much. Way too much. Okay, but since I've gone on the tangent, let's get to wrestling. I believe you have some shows of the weekend for us.
Yes, we have a lot of shows of the weekend. That's why we're going to do them first off the bat, so we don't have to worry about them towards the end of the show. So, for you people who like PWG, they have a show on Friday called Bask in His Glory, named after Keith Sweat. Keith Lee.
Keith Sweat.
Alright, so we have Tyler Bateman facing off against Trevor Lee. We have Jake Atlas facing off against Ray Horace. you know, a.k.a. Dragon Azteca Jr. from Lucha Underground, if you didn't know that.
Oh, really?
Jonah Rock. Huh. Oh, you didn't? Yeah. No. So Rey Horus is just Dragon Azteca Jr.
Okay.
All right. Good thing I said that then. Jonah Rock taking on Timothy Thatcher. Matthew Riddle faces David Starr. Bandido faces Robbie Eagles. Adam Brooks takes on Keith Lee in his last match for PWG. And Sammy Guevara challenges for the PWG world title against Walter. And that is PWG's show. Now let me get to all the other fucking cards we have to deal with. First up, we have Powerbomb Television's schedule. They have, they have two shows. Yeah, they have two shows this weekend. I think they're going to be back-to-back. Are they coming from the same location?
I really enjoy Powerbomb TV. Fantastic.
It's nice that they do these double shots, because these two are from the same location, so they're back-to-back shows.
Okay.
They're both on Sunday. The first one is called... Oh, yeah, it's actually called All Day on both the shows, but it's Beyond Wrestling, and then the Women's Wrestling Revolution, All Day Part 1 and All Day Part 2. Those are the different names. Beyond Wrestling, All Day Part 1. Features the last Beyond match of Keith Lee, as he will be taking on Mia Yim. Walter will be taking on Joey Janela. Matthew Riddle versus Wheeler Yuta. Team Pazuzu Open Challenge. Timothy Thatcher versus David Starr. Josh Briggs versus Jonathan Gresham. And for the Chikara Young Lion Cup, Cam Zagami, the current Young Lion Cup champion, will take on the current Green Ant. And also scheduled to compete is AR Fox. And then for All Day Part 2, Women's Wrestling Revolution, we have for the Independent Wrestling Championship, Hot Sauce Tracy Williams defends against Tessa Blanchard. Chelsea Green versus Skylar. Kimberly versus Penelope Ford. Jordynne Grace and Lufisto, a.k.a. Team Pog, versus Tasha Steeles and Karen Q. Oceana from Chikara, the main heel right now, versus Samari, and Oceana's sister, who I don't know where she's been, and she hasn't been in Chikara lately, but her sister Delmi Exo will be wrestling against Ali Rex. Also scheduled to appear, Alicia Edwards, Davian, Gillian Lee, Solo Darling, Widow Belmont, and Willow Nightingale. Those are, and more to be announced. So that is your Powerbomb Television lineup for Sunday. All right. Also happening this weekend is Chikara show on Saturday, which is, of course, coming from the Wrestle Factory. It's Anniversario, Heroes Shed No Tears. What do we have here? We have, I'm going to read this from the bottom up. We have a big 10-man tag match as the Touchdowns team up with Solo Darling, Travis Huckabee, and the Thief Ant to take on Hollow Wicked, Frightmare, The Whisper, Rory Gulak, and Cajun Crawdad. Yeah. Going on, we got Cyberhawks 2000, two of the guys from there, teaming up with Icarus to take on the Creatures of the Deep, Oceano, Murloc, and Hermit Crab, or is that Cajun Crawdad, and the other one's Hermit? No, so it's Hermit Crab, okay. Hype Rockwell taking on Tony Deppen. Lucas Calhoun and Jeremy Lear, you take on the Proteus Wheel. Officer Warren Barksdale versus Volgar, who is part of the Proteus Wheel. Green Ant and Worker Ant, Green Ant with Worker Ant. So Green Ant will be taking on Fire Ant. I guess there is some problems with the ants right now. We got the Beast Warriors, Ulag the Usurper, and the Boar of Moldova taking on the Tag Team Champions in non-title action. They're the closers. And in our main event, the champion, Juan Francisco de Coronado, who I think at this point is like the second longest running grand champion after Eddie Kingston.
He has been champ for a long time.
Yeah, I should probably look up that. Let me see if I can find it. And he's also been playing a jobber on SmackDown occasionally, too.
Oh, yeah.
Hasn't he done, like...
Yeah, I saw one, I think it was last year.
Yeah, I think he might have done... I don't know, he was called Christopher Guy or something like that.
Yeah.
I think someone was sending that around again. I thought that was hilarious. Christopher Guy. All right, where are you, fucking Wikipedia? I guess. Wait, is that right? good thing? No, it's not. Alright. Well, whatever. He's been the champion a long time, but he's still like at least 2 or 3 years behind Eddie Kingston. But he will be defending his title against the Master of a Thousand Holds, Mike Quackenbush.
Nice.
So that is your Chikara main event. We got also our big companies have a few shows too, which are New Japan Ring of Honor. ROH is actually overseas. And this match show is happening about the time this is going to go up. Oh, don't tell me you turned off the thing. All right. Come on, stupid freaking Ring of Honor. Your website changes are kind of weird. All right, so this is what we got for the Ring of Honor show that will be happening the day we are posting this. We got the boys taking on Toro Yano and Delirious, which is a weird tag team. We have a match that's coming out of the All In news, so I'll give a little background, because they said that Cody will be challenging for the NWA World title. Apparently nobody told Nick Aldis this, and he's made several demands, and one of which has become this tag team match. As him, he will be teaming up with Mark Haskins to take on the Young Bucks. So yes, the NWA World Champion is coming to Ring of Honor. And he's bringing his buddy Mark Haskins. I think this is Mark Haskins' ROH debut.
Hmm.
So, big match there. The Women of Honor champion Sumi Sakai will team up with Tenille Dashwood versus Kelly Klein and Chardonnay. The Kingdom will be facing off against Dalton Castle, Jay Lethal, and Hiroshi Tanahashi. Kenny King versus Punisher Martinez. Shane Taylor versus Scorpio Sky. The IWGP Heavyweight Tag Team Champions will be in action against Christopher Daniels and Frankie Kazarian. We have Silas Young defending the TV title against Joe Hendry. I don't know who that is. And we have the World Tag Team titles on the line as the Briscoes will be taking on the Bullet Club team of Adam Page and Cody. All right. And on the 26th... come on, ROH's website... All right, for you guys who don't go on ROH's website now, you have to go to the page for the show, and they give you, like, three lineups, and you have to do a scroll down thing. And I had everything on the lineup, but because I'm going through all these stupid browser pages, it just switches off of the lineup each time for some reason. All right, Mark Haskins will continue with ROH as he takes on Jay Briscoe the next, I think this is Saturday night. Yeah. We also have Kelly Klein versus Tenille Dashwood, Cody versus Kenny King, Shane Taylor versus Toro Yano, Jay Lethal versus Mark Briscoe, Four Corners non-title match for the which will have Hiroshi Tanahashi, Silas Young, Punisher Martinez, and Sonata. A three-way trios title match: the Kingdom defend against SoCal Uncensored and the Bullet Club of the Hung Bucks. And the world title will be on the line as Dalton Castle defends his belt against Evil. Remember, everything is evil.
Yes,
everything is always fucking evil. Alrighty, and finally, the last show of the this brief tour has The Addiction taking on Yano and Kenny King. We have, I guess Yano's the only guy representing Chaos on this tour, so they just don't have random matches. Dalton Castle and the boys taking on Shane Taylor, Bully Ray, and Punisher Martinez. TV title matchup as Silas Young defends against Doug fucking Williams. Holy shit. For those of you guys who don't know, Doug Williams is a longtime British wrestler, but he might, but in Ring of Honor, he's known as being one of the guys who entered the first the Ring of Honor World Title Tournament in its first year. He went to the finals to in a four-way match. It was him, Christopher Daniels, Spanky, and Loki. Did you know that?
Oh, no.
Yeah, so Doug Williams has a long history with Ring of Honor. So, I mean, he left shortly after, but he was in the first world title matchup, world title tournament, and the first world title match. So, yeah, that's actually pretty interesting. And he was the guy who popularized the Chaos Theory suplex, which was the O'Connor roll into the deadlift German suplex hold. All right, we got Cody versus Scorpio Sky, Adam Page versus Roshi Tanahashi, Matt Taven versus Jay Lethal, Sumi Sakai defends her title against Chardonnay. Four corner survival match, Briscoes versus Evil Sonata versus Kingdom versus Young Bucks. And this will be a tease for the upcoming Young Bucks versus Evil Sonata match at Dominion. All right, so we also have Best of the Super Juniors. Before we get to that, let's talk a little bit about the show so far. Have you watched any of them?
Nope.
All right.
I think so I only saw, what matches did I see? I saw that ACH versus Flip Gordon
thing.
And then Will Ospreay versus Tai Chi. Ishimori.
All right, yeah. All right, so that was night one that my colleague is talking about. So let's go through the that show actually opened up with Kanemaru versus Tiger Mask, which I actually dreaded watching this match, but it turned out to be pretty good. So and Tiger Mask actually won by reversing a superplex into a cradle. Then was ACH defeating Flip Gordon, which was an excellent match. Flip did a lot of flips, as his name applies, and ACH brought the aggression. The match after that was Yo defeating Bushi with a version of the prawn hold. It was an okay match. And then Taiji Ishimori, a.k.a. Bone Soldier, defeated Will Ospreay in a pretty good match, too. So, yeah, that was night one. Night two, and bring that sucker up. That one, I believe, opened up with Sho versus Dragon Lee, and that match was my favorite match so far of the tournament. Very hot, very hard hitting, very fucking good match. Of the Roppongi 3K guys, Sho's the one that has a lot of the pure strength and aggression, whereas Yo usually plays the underdog. But yeah, Sho versus Dragon Lee was my favorite match of the tournament so far. We had El Desperado versus Ryusuke Taguchi, which was a fun match. Desperado won that one. Then we had Chris Sabin versus Kushida, which was just okay. It seemed a little off at times. But, yeah. The main event was Hiromu Takahashi defeating Marty Scurll. That was a pretty good match, too. Scurll lost because Takahashi did the Hurricanrana into the triangle hold,
nice,
which is a nice move he occasionally does. Yeah. Then we got Block A second night, or night three in total. The guy, alright. So we had Tiger Mask pulling out ahead to surprise everybody. This is his 17th tournament, I believe. And he is currently on a tie for top of Block A by defeating Yo. It was a pretty decent match. Then Flip Gordon got on the scoreboard by defeating Yoshinobu Kanemaru, who's actually one half of the junior tag team champions. So Kanemaru is tied for being on the bottom of the block. Also tying for the top of the block and defeating a guy tying for the bottom of the block, Taiji Ishimori defeated Bushi in a really good match. Bone Soldier. I just like saying that now. And in the main event was a really good match between Will Ospreay and ACH, with Will Ospreay tying in the middle. But, yeah, Will Ospreay won, and ACH, you know, also has one victory on these things. So they're in the middle section with two other wrestlers. But I was pulling for ACH to win this. I like Will Ospreay, but I'm just going to pull against them for almost all the matches. I don't know why. But, yeah, I wanted ACH to win. And then we have Block B's second night, a.k.a. night four. Sho defeated Chris Sabin, and Chris Sabin was looked much better in this match than his match with Kushida. He actually beat Kushida, but Sho won this match in his cross-armed package pile driver. This was a really good match. Enjoyed this one quite a bit. And Chris Sabin connected more with the audience because this show and two of the other shows were all in Corican Hall, so really good audience. So, nice. You know, I think they got more used to Sabin there. But yeah, very good match. Dragon Lee and defeated Ryusuke Taguchi. This was an interesting match. I've never seen Dragon Lee really work comedy, but there were elements of comedy in this one. It was fun. But that means that Dragon Lee's tied on top with Ryusuke Taguchi tied on the bottom of the block, which is a bit of a surprise. Kushida got on the scoreboard defeating Marty Scurll. So Marty Scurll is on the bottom of the block, too. This was a good match. In the main event, El Desperado defeated Hiromu Takahashi. So El Desperado is tied with Dragon Lee on the top of the block as well. So, yeah, that is your Best of the Super Juniors matches so far. So let's talk about what's going to happen. You ready?
Yep.
All right, first off, some related news. Another one of the Young Lions is injured. Tetsuhara Yagi got injured during the Dontaku Tour with a fracture. I don't know how long he'll be out. Ren Narita got a concussion, so they're going to keep him out until at least June. So we'll see him back soon, but he's out for shortly. But we got here are the important matches. We have Tiger Mask, who's currently 2-0, taking on Bushi, who's 0-2. I'm assuming Bushi's going to get on, score his first win here. ACH, who is 1-1, will be taking on Kanemaru, who's 0-2. And like I said, Kanemaru's one half of the junior tag team champion, so I hate to see ACH lose another match, but I think Kanemaru has to win a match soon. So this might be it. Flip Gordon, who's 1-1, will be taking on Taiji Ishimori, who's 2-0. I wouldn't be surprised to see Taiji win this, since he's Bone Soldier, and they're really booking him hard.
Yeah.
And Battle of the Chaos Stablemate says Will Ospreay will go up against Yo. I believe Will Ospreay will win that. Any opinions?
Not really. Let me see. I think Yo won his first match, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that was a shocker for me.
Yeah.
But yeah, I really like him. I really like him and show, but I don't know. But yeah, I don't have too much of an opinion on much of anything.
Really. All right. Well, then this is the Block B show. That one's the one that's basically going to be airing tonight, but those matches are going to be on demand, so they probably won't be up until either early Friday morning or late Thursday night. So that's why I did that show again. But this is the actual Friday show, which I think is also going to be on demand. But we're going to have Chris Sabin versus Marty Scurll. Sabin is 1-1. Scurll is 0-2. I'm expecting Scurll to score here. Kushida and Ryusuke Taguchi. Taguchi is on the bottom of the block. Kushida has 1 point. I don't think Taguchi's wrestled Kushida, has been in the same block as Kushida the last two tournaments. And I don't think he's beating him on any of those matches. So I'm assuming Taguchi will finally get a victory over Kushida, but I'm not holding my breath. I would just kind of hope that he finally wins one. Show, who's 1-1, will be taking on El Desperado, who's on top of the block. El Desperado's the other half of the junior tag team champions. This can go either way. And then same with this match on Friday night. And this is the sad thing, that this show is going to be on demand, because it'll probably be a single camera show. But the main event is Dragon Lee versus Takahashi. So I'd really rather that be all cameras with commentary, because they go fucking insane. So if you don't know, Dragon Lee and Takahashi have one of the best international feuds. These guys have wrestled in the States, Japan, and Mexico. These guys are going to go all out fucking crazy. Yeah, this is a big one. Dragon Lee is leading with, it's tied on top with 2-0. Takahashi is 1-1. So I think Dragon Lee won their last singles encounter. So there's that. Any comments on that show?
No, not really.
All right. Next up is, this is Saturday. I'm skipping all the undercard matches, by the way. So we got Tiger Mask taking on Flip Gordon. ACH versus Yo. Taiji Ishimori versus Yoshinobu Kanemaru, and Will Ospreay versus Bushi. Pretty decent looking card. I think the most interesting match is Will Ospreay and Bushi. I would not be surprised for Bushi to score a victory here. A surprise win over the champion would be a nice change of pace. They like to do that. Any thoughts on that show?
No.
All right. This is a long tournament, so bear with me. All right, we got next night, Skrull versus El Desperado, Chris Sabin versus Dragon Lee, Kushida versus Sho, which I'm actually looking forward to. They had a brief encounter in the tag tournament, junior tag tournament last year, when Kushida teamed with Kawato to take on Roppongi 3K. It was a pretty intense match. The main event, though, is Taguchi versus Hiromu Takahashi. And they had a great singles match last year, too. And that is that night. No thoughts?
Nope.
All right. Next night, another A block. Tiger Mask versus Taiji Ishimori. ACH versus Bushi. Flip Gordon versus Yo. And Will Ospreay versus Yoshinobu Kanemaru. That is the Tuesday show. Thoughts?
Nope.
No?
Nope.
All right. I'm not going to do the next Thursday show. I'll just do that when we do our show, because it'll probably be up about the same time our show goes up. So I'll just end it with the show on Wednesday for next week, which is Dragon Lee versus Marty Scurll, Taguchi versus Sho, Chris Sabin versus Hiromu Takahashi, and Kushida versus El Desperado. This is actually Kushida's first main event on B Block, because they've been having Takahashi headline a lot of the shows. So that's a slight change. Any opinion on that one?
Nope.
All right, and that is your Best of the Super Juniors roundup. Woo! Like I said, that was a lot of fucking shows.
I'm catching up on 205 Live, and I'm watching Juan Francisco de Coronado.
So, okay, so that's why I saw his thing the other day, too.
Yeah,
because
it's him versus TJP.
I prefer Juan Francisco de Coronado.
He just snapped his arm. Because apparently TJP is trying to liken himself as the best technical and submission specialist of 205 Live, even though we have Gulak.
Exactly. What the fuck is he talking about? I mean, Gulak has such a better character, a better ring presence, a better look than TJP. Yeah. I mean, and TJP is fine, but in the world of 205 Live, I mean, you know, he's not the best high flyer, he's not the best technical wrestler, he's not the best gimmick.
Right.
I mean, when you're talking about high flyers, you're talking like your best high flyers are probably Kalisto, Grand Metalik, and Mustafa Ali.
Right.
Your best technical wrestler is definitely fucking Gulak, but I'd argue that Brian Kendrick and even Jack Gallagher are probably more interesting as technical wrestlers.
Yeah.
You got Cedric Alexander, who's a jack of all trades type. He may not be the best at anything, but he can do pretty much anything. Same with what's his name? Dude with all the abs. I can't forget his name.
Buddy Murphy?
Gulak's
former. Oh no.
Oh yeah, Murphy too.
Yeah, Murphy and Nice.
Yeah, Murphy Tony and Nice. Tony Nice and Murphy can do are following that jack of all trades element as well.
Yeah, and even so, Buddy Murphy, he busts out the innovative type moves and shit.
Yeah, that guy has a lot of just straight snapping charisma.
Yeah,
TJP's on the bottom end of things. I mean, I think if they let Kenta go all out, he would be probably one of the more aggressive types. And it looks like they're building to that.
Yeah.
So what the fuck does TJP have? A decent entrance music?
Yeah, that's about it. Just, like, entrance music and a cocky demeanor, and that's basically it.
Yeah, sorry, dude. No. All right, yes. Screw that. Do we want to talk about Raw and SmackDown?
We can talk about Raw and SmackDown.
All right, go ahead. I don't watch either.
Yeah, there was some bullshit that happened. Stephanie McMahon returned on Raw and basically bitched out Kurt Angle. Ended up having a match between Kevin Owens and Roman Reigns because Kevin Owens got too comfortable. But of course, that match ended up in a DQ, which favored Roman Reigns because Jinder Mahal attacked him. But then Seth Rollins got the save, so it ended up being a tag match. Seth Rollins and Roman Reigns won that match, but then Jinder fleed, but came back with a chair and beat the shit out of both of them.
How did the fans react to Roman winning a match?
Of course, like they usually do. And
I figured.
Yeah, and they cheered Jinder a little bit when they beat the shit out of Roman.
You gotta wonder what Vince is thinking. He was like, no one likes Jinder. He should wrestle Jinder. Now it's like, oh, God.
Speaking of what what he's thinking. Fucking, I don't know what he was thinking with this Bobby Lashley, Sami Zayn segment. That's something have to fucking talk about. Yeah. Jesus. Well,
and the thing is, like, not only was the response bad, but people were questioning, why would you do this after, you know, the big
reveal,
the big
sell. Right. Right, so like,
that's no way that shit's gonna work on fucking on
SmackDown.
Basic television.
Yeah, fuck no. So yeah, you got fucking Sami Zayn bringing out the sisters, who end up being three men in drag, three men in drag posing as women, and of course people threw out stuff like transphobic, insensitive. Yada, yada, yada. Some people saying this is the worst segment since the This Is Your Life Bailey edition last year.
And did you see they actually pretty much matched up the dates?
Yeah, because like, I think it was May 29th last year, and it's it was May 22nd this year. Oh, no, yeah, not May 22nd, May 21st this year for what transpired.
So I'm kind of cringeworthy what's going to happen on close to these dates next year now.
Yeah, oh, man. I don't know, man. But
maybe it's going to be the year where they let that one really bad segment make its way to the thing.
Yeah. But yeah, it was fucking goddamn. And then, of course, Bobby Lashley eventually came after everybody and beat the shit out of all the women, his sisters. Even took a broomstick, put one between the guy's legs, bounced him around on it, and then tossed him out of the ring. Yes, that shit happened.
What a...
Then there was Ember Moon versus Alexa Bliss, which Ember Moon ended up winning.
That Ember Moon is just keep beating Alexa Bliss.
Yeah. No Way Jose faced Baron Corbin and caught the L. What else happened? B Team beat Breezango again, and they went crazy. Started jumping on the announcement table, all that shit. Then there was the Ronda Rousey, Nia Jax, contract signing that was hosted by Stephanie McMahon. Basically, Stephanie McMahon ended up trying to goad both of them into getting more aggressive. Basically talked about how they basically don't see each other as a threat, and how Ronda jumped above everybody else, yada yada yada. But nothing really went down.
No, that's a surprise. Every contract signing should end with someone going through a table, right?
Yeah, no, nothing really went down. So, Chad Gable and Dolph Ziggler had a pretty good match. With Dolph Ziggler ended up taking the victory, but McIntyre and Ziggler wanted to make an example of him, and he got held up while McIntyre went for the Claymore kick. After that, Money in the Bank, Fatal 4-Way Qualifier, Dana Brooke versus Natalya versus Liv Morgan versus Sarah Logan, and of course Natalya ends up winning that one. Elias,
I want to say a good thing that I think Natalya won, because she was good in the last women's Money in the Bank.
Yeah.
You need an aggressive woman who can toss some of the women around like her.
Yeah. Elias faced Bobby Roode, with Elias picking up the victory. Braun Strowman faced Finn Balor, with the winner being Braun Strowman. Yeah, of course.
Yeah. I mean, Finn has a lot of the tools to be a top guy, but I don't know what's going on with WWE.
Yeah.
I mean, fucking women love Finn Balor.
Because they just had him paired up with Braun Strowman last week.
Yeah. I mean, and I'm not saying anything negative about Braun. I think Braun is one of the better guys.
Yeah.
But if you want to go on about how they need to have a star who also looks TV ready,
mm-hmm.
I mean, come on. Finn Balor looks fucking TV ready.
Yeah.
And you have women, you know, salivating over him.
Yeah.
But, you know, you never quite know what the vision of the company is. I mean, I still think they're doing a better job well, not a better job with Finn, but at least, you know, he's a face and people actually like him.
Right.
Yeah.
What else happened? Okay, for SmackDown, Miz had his Miz TV segment with the New Day. He basically put them on just to demand... them to reveal who they are putting up as the person to compete in the Money in the Bank men's match. He basically went down the list of all of them and basically all the positives of those guys, and of course the one negative that's holding each of them back, blah blah blah, but he was not able to get them to do that, and eventually they goaded him into a match with Big E, which Miz ended up picking the victory on when Sheamus and Cesaro came out and did some interference. Money in the Bank qualifying match, Lana versus Billy Kay. That one was interesting, I guess. Aiden English ended up being her hype man for it, and there was
Aiden English has got a good job. He's touring. He's on the main shows. He doesn't really have to wrestle.
Yeah, so he came out, did his shtick. Lana made her entrance. There was some like altercation outside of the ring. Which ended up giving Lana the advantage of a kick and an X Factor for the win. So she did like a few moves and won the match against Billy Kay, and Lana is actually part of the Money in the Bank match. With the addition of her, I don't know how that match is going to be.
I don't either, and I mean, I think they want to, you know, obviously Rusev Day's taken over, so they have to push Lana to a degree.
Right.
And I understand that. I just don't know this. I don't understand this booking of the Iconics. It's just almost the same as I don't understand the booking of Absolution when they were around, or Riot Squad. They just coming off as for all. I mean, and I like the Iconics better than either group because I think they have a lot more personality.
Right.
But they're basically just stepstones for other already established women. And that doesn't work. At least they're treating Ember Moon like a threat. So that's a positive.
Yeah. Selena Vega and Cien Almas were backstage talking about he still needs better competition, but he ended up facing an unnamed enhancement talent, which of course he won.
I don't even know why they're doing this. It's not like they can. It's not like Andrade's going to get exposed by being in the ring with a wrestler.
Well, they're making it. I guess part of the storyline is that I guess they're going to keep feeding him jobbers, and they're going to keep complaining about it. That's basically what it is. It's not like, oh, we're just going to keep feeding you to jobbers, and nothing is of any. Like substance, I think they're going to eventually lead into something. So I think it's interesting because at least they're at least acknowledging that yeah, having him face jobbers is bullshit. You know.
All right. Well, if they go somewhere with it, they will. Because you know sometimes they've had this habit of them facing jobbers, mm-hmm. and then when it comes to actually having matches, it loses something.
Right.
It just doesn't work.
Right.
I think one of the problems Ryback had is he spent like half his time beating jobbers, and then when he finally started working his way through the roster, they were like, we're not ready for him to beat some of these guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just want to see him. Well, I'm sure he'll... I'm wondering if he'll get into Money in the Bank, because that seems like a better choice.
Yeah. What ended up happening? Shinsuke and AJ had another confrontation. Because Shinsuke beat AJ last week, he had the stipulation of his choosing, and after they had their altercation, it ended up being announced that it would be a last man standing match at Money in the Bank. What do you think about that stipulation?
I think Shinsuke needs to win the goddamn title already, and we need to move away from this goddamn feud.
Yeah,
how
man.
How can you take something that people really wanted to see and just make people not want to see it ever again?
Yeah, this is almost as bad as when he had that little feud with Jinder.
Oh, God. Horrible, horrible.
I don't know what the fuck is going on. I honestly don't know what the fuck is going on. But there is some good news. There was a number one contenders match for the tag titles between the Usos and Gallows and Anderson, and Gallows and Anderson got their shot. They won the match, so they will be facing the Bludgeon Brothers at Money in the Bank. So,
all right. Yeah. Well, that's a nice little change of pace.
Yeah. Yep, yep, yep. And then another Money in the Bank qualifying match for the women's side. Naomi faced Sonya Deville, who had yet another shot because she already had a shot at the three-way, and she got another one. But, of course, she lost this one, too, and so Naomi is going into the Money in the Bank match.
At this point, I think they should just take the women off of both shows and just give the women their own fucking wrestling program.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, at least because, like I said, it's clear that they don't want some of these women, newer women, score. And I think Sonya Deville could be marketed well. I mean, especially if they're going far, you know, more global with the SmackDown deal.
Right.
Positioning Sonya Deville in a better position would only benefit them.
Yeah.
You can't go mainstream if you're not willing to, you know, push your black wrestlers, your Asian wrestlers, and your gay wrestlers, let's be honest, and your Mexican wrestlers, but
yeah,
the majority of your Mexican wrestlers are now on. Well, no, they got Andrade.
They got Andrade.
Do they have? And they got the New Day. So I mean, okay, so now they just really need to for SmackDown to push someone who's gay, and they have one gay wrestler. I mean, I'm not saying she should be the champion. I'm just saying, let her win a fucking match.
Yeah, right? Oh, man. Okay, and the last match ended up being a Jeff Hardy versus Daniel Bryan match titled a Second Chance Money in the Bank match. So they also got a second chance. Winner would face... It's not a qualifying match, but winner would face Samoa Joe to get the chance to qualify for the Money in the Bank. And the match was pretty good, and Samoa Joe ended up stepping in after Daniel Bryan won with a heel hook. So, yeah, that's it.
That's cool.
Yeah, so yeah, Daniel Bryan's been using the heel hook ever since he... took Big Cass out last week, so now he has like what, three finishers now? He has the Yes Lock.
Why not?
Because he has the Yes Lock, he has the heel hook, and he has the running knee, the Zaku knee type deal. So yeah, that's all I got for weekly television. I'm currently watching 205 Live, so I can't really delve into that, so it's whatever.
All right. Well, while you're watching it, I'll go through my news.
Let's
start with some WWE-related stuff. So, WWE UK contracted talent cannot be featured on streaming matches except if they're from Progress and ICW. So those guys who work in British wrestling can... only appear on streaming matches from WWE-approved company that affects, you know, like RevPro, WXW, and several others.
Yeah.
WWE is slowly killing the British wrestling scene. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, yeah, I guess Progress would still be in business, but RevPro will probably lean more to obviously use a non-WWE contracted talent.
Right.
And lean more into their connections with probably Ring of Honor and New Japan, but I don't know how this affects things like Battle Club Pro or WXW.
Yeah. But how many UK contracted guys are there?
Well, we have the UK tournament happening.
Yeah.
I'm assuming all of those guys are going to be under contract. But because they just signed, I guess, that Kenny Williams guy who showed up at the last show.
Yeah.
And the other dude, I'm assuming, oh yeah, Flash, Morgan Webster, I'm assuming they're going to be contracted. Some of the guys in the UK tournament are guys from the last one, including T-Bone and Jordan whatever.
Yeah, so, okay, yeah. So I might as well go down the list of the last eight who just got... who just got included into it. So, yeah, you said T-Bone. Yeah, he was... I think that was the last one announced. Who else? James Drake. Yeah, he's another one who was part of the tournament last time. Tucker. He was also another one who was part of the tournament last time. Jordan...
Wait, which one was... I don't remember half of these guys.
Yeah, no, right? Yeah, I recognize... Was Tucker one of... But they didn't show anything that, like, wowed me at all.
I liked the dude who wore the suit. I forget who that was.
Yeah.
And then I liked, I think, the first guy that Tyler Bate wrestled.
Yeah.
Who had just the one name. I really liked him. Because that was, like, my favorite match of the first round. Yeah. But, you know, I don't know what I forget who he was. And I don't think he's on this one.
Okay. And then who else? Jordan Devlin, of course. Prince Devitt, Finn Balor's protege, whatever.
Yeah, I don't think I liked him.
Yeah, yeah, his something about his look is just weird to me, because, like, he has, like, this really big head for his body. It just makes me weirded out by him. I don't know.
Hey, sometimes small things.
I don't know, man. Me, Bolotti got more head than he got body. Anyway, but yeah, of course, you also announced Flash Morgan Webster, who had just competed in the 205 Live last week. Travis Banks, he is from New Zealand. Yeah, he's from New Zealand.
Oh yeah, yeah, Travis Banks. He's kind of the biggest deal going into this tournament.
Yeah, because he's the current Progress World Champion too.
And he was the Battle Pro. Club champion until he lost the belt to Mako Satomura. He was he actually ditched the Chikara King of Trios tournament to do the PWG Best of the Super Juniors that year, I believe.
Oh wow!
I think this is the right guy. He looks a little different.
Yeah.
I wonder if I'm thinking of Chris Brooks.
It might be. I don't know.
Might be Travis Banks and Chris Brooks mixed up.
I don't know. Okay, and the last two, Ashton Smith, who is the token black guy of the tournament, who happens to look a lot like Ricochet, so people have been really hammering that in, even though they don't know his wrestling style or anything like that.
Because all black people look the same, apparently.
Yeah, yeah.
Even though right now I'm pretty sure I mixed up two white dudes, so
yeah.
I don't know what the fuck you guys are talking about. Because yeah, I'm thinking about Chris Brooks, the wrestler, or whatever.
Yeah. And speaking of white dudes, the last entrant is 205 Live's Drew Gulak, which drew a little bit, no pun intended, drew some criticism because he's not from the UK, but. There's also dudes from Ireland, there's dudes from freaking New Zealand, and other places who are competing in the tournament that aren't in the actual UK, so to nitpick on him is kind of bullshit.
Yeah. Alright, I'm pretty sure it is Travis Banks, it's just the picture they used for Wikipedia is horrible, and it doesn't look like he does now. Does that make sense?
Yeah, because Travis Banks, he used to tag with, T.K. Cooper for a while?
Yeah. I believe so. But, like I said, I can't tell half of these British dudes apart, so I could still be fucking wrong. Like, because I don't follow British wrestling. Well, at least guys, you know, most British wrestlers. Alright, so I am getting him and Chris Brooks mixed up. Alright, fuck it. I can't comment on British wrestling ever again. I'm sorry. All you white dudes look the fucking same.
Oh, man.
All right. So, what else did I have? Okay, I'll do all the... I'll stick to American wrestling, and then I'll move... Because I'm going to do this by sort of by country, since that was WWE related.
Yeah.
I'll go back to the States. Are you familiar with LGBTQ wrestling?
I've heard of a few promotions popping up.
No, I think this is the actual name of the company.
Oh, really? God damn, because there's another one that was like...
Yeah.
Like equal rights, equal fight. There was
that one's just an intergender wrestling promotion, actually.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay.
They're having their first show, and I'm gonna probably talk about their first show coming up because I'm on their I got their Twitter thing, and they announced pretty much their whole show. It's gonna be at the Chikara Wrestle Factory. It actually sounds pretty.
But yeah,
pretty good. They have Jonathan Grisham versus Jordan Grace on the first show.
Oh God. Oh, man.
Work out that pre-marriage problems, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah, apparently there is a company, LGBTQ Wrestling. I had only heard about them a little while. Yeah. Okay, so they're... Yes, it's who you're thinking of, but Matter of Pride and LGBTQ Wrestling, I guess it's the same fucking name.
Oh, Matter of Pride. Yeah, that's right. I remember. Yeah, that's one of the ones I just heard about, too, like in the past week.
It's basically the same promotion, but they came under fire like a month or so ago when the guy who apparently runs it, the Boy Diva, called Kenny Omega the F word and started insulting him, saying he was fake bi, and everyone was mad. But it kind of went under the radar a little bit until now when they tried booking Schlack for a show.
What? No.
Yes. No. They booked Schlack. They got criticized. Like, why are you fucking booking Schlack? And then they apologize and all this stuff. But people were like, Schlack never really apologized for any sort of association with Nazis, and he said he didn't care that he had new Nazis. You know, he was not going to apologize for it, right?
Yeah.
So he might not be a Nazi, but it's not like he hates Nazis. He's fine with associating with them.
Yeah.
So they had to apologize, and then they deleted the apology. So this promotion that's supposed to, you know, be important to the LGBT community is being run by a fucking idiot. And they're booking fucking Schlack.
Jesus.
So, can't even trust the LGBT, some of the LGBTQA society.
Oh, yeah, because, like, that's one thing you realize, like, especially in the past few years, that, like, gay folks, especially white ones, are just as ignorant and racist as the straight ones, you know?
Yep. That is true. All right, maybe I should have did this one, too, because this is also kind of related to the UK, but New Japan is doing their shows in the UK, which Rev Pro is helping with, their UK Strong Style shows, and for a change of pace, they actually announced one of their young lions will be competing on all the shows, Shota Umino. As you know, none of the young lions have really competed on any of these excursion shows they do.
Yeah.
So this is actually kind of a big deal to show their faith in Umino, and it might also mean that he's getting ready to go on excursion himself. So congrats to him for showing off. In other New Japan, well, kind of New Japan news, the trailer for Tanahashi's movie is out, and now I know what the fuck this movie's about. It's called My Dad is a Heel Wrestler.
Really?
Apparently it's based on a book. It's about a longtime wrestler who used to be an ace of a company who has turned heel, and he's a masked wrestler. So Tanahashi is playing the former ace turned heel wrestler. And guess who else is in the movie that he's fighting?
Who?
Okada.
Oh.
Okada's the star. The star, but I guess he's the top guy in the promotion. So their trailer, you get to see Tanahashi wear the mask and attack Okada, who's wearing different wrestling trunks, obviously. So, yeah. There's a trailer out. It's called My Dad is a Heel Wrestler. Which I found pretty fucking funny. In other Japanese-related news, this means I'm going to end up spending some money, is Sendai Girls has just joined Pivot Share. Pivot Share is a popular on-demand website that several wrestling companies air their videos on. I believe Bar Wrestling does it. I am pretty sure Progress Wrestling also uses Pivot Share. So, and they started in Bar Wrestling, PCW, WXW. I've never actually used Pivot Share, have you?
Yeah, I haven't done that either. I don't know.
ICW's on there, High Spots. Apparently Combat Zone does it too. Smash. Yep, there's Progress. RevPro. Ireland's, what is this? I don't know. Pro Wrestling Eve, it's the British female wrestling company. Lucha Forever, which is Lucha UK. Let's see what else we got. House of Glory, that's a New York based promotion. Preston City Wrestling, the UK company. Northeast Wrestling, Fest Wrestling. No, there's actually quite a lot of wrestling companies on a wrestling circuit. I was wondering how people fucking watch that. Capital City. Oh, Taiwan has a wrestling promotion on here. So, yeah, they're the first Japanese wrestling promotion to join it. And, yeah. So if you like Sendai Girls, which I think is a great promotion, you go ahead and start paying and watching their shows. Because it's going to be a lot harder to steal them now. All right. They also have an English Twitter account as well, so to make it easier to follow. All right. Are we ready for some Lucha Libre news?
Yes. Yes.
First of all, the Crash.
The Crash.
Back to AAA.
Really?
I'm sure it has to do with the fact they still don't have actual television. And they're not really airing their stuff. And because they're not having television, they're airing their stuff, they're not putting on as many shows as, you know, other, like, CMLL and AAA would. So I guess they came down to, since some of these guys can't get booked in the States, they have to go back to AAA to make money. So, yep, the Crash is losing people at AAA. In CMLL news, Zoe, I can't pronounce her name, Z-E-U-X-I-S, Zoex, who's been a longtime member of the female roster in CMLL, has quit. Which is not a surprise, since, generally speaking, most of the women's matches in CMLL are just random six-man matches among the seven or eight women they actually have on their roster. She's actually pretty good, so she's actually already going to get booked on an indie Lucha Libre show, so yeah. She apparently had a pretty good match last year, the mask match with Princess Suhai, who's in the Mae Young Classic, if you remember. And finally, Lucha Indie DTU will now start streaming on Powerbomb TV. DTU, the positives is you'll see someone like Negro Casas. The negatives is that they're going to send Schlack over soon. So, you know, win and losses, right, man?
Yeah.
So that is actual indie, actual wrestling news that I had. I'm done.
Okay, I guess it's my turn. Kevin Hart has a new Mountain Dew commercial out, and it seems like he is like a parody of like Macho Man, the Hulk, and yada yada yada. And of course, me and Gene Okerlund is also on the mic interviewing him. But of course, and I said it was a Mountain Dew commercial, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, of course, Velveteen Dream had to chime in to say that it, he was infringing on his gimmick. Found that funny. What other news? Enzo's accuser responded to the charges being dropped fairly eloquently. Basically, she's had, like, a whole paragraph talking about how, like, look, this is how shit went down after the fact. Like, I didn't do it, and plus I didn't do it just for me, I did it for other victims, yada yada yada. She's deeply saddened by the charges being dropped and all that stuff like that, which is a damn shame, man. Like, yeah, I still think he did some shit. He definitely did some shit.
Yeah,
his crew, like, I know they were involved in some shit too.
I think the problem also is people keep thinking that he's, like, been cleared of all charges. He hasn't. And very few rape cases go to trial, and even fewer lead to convictions.
Right.
Just out of curiosity, did you see the WWE pay-per-view news that just it's coming out?
No, what happened?
WWE pay-per-views will now officially start at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific. All shows will be a minimum 4 hours long. The big four will be 5 hours long, but still start at 7 Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific.
Okay, so the pre-show. So the pre-show is going to start at 6?
I'm assuming, yeah.
What the fuck? So it's an hour early? Ain't that a bitch?
Yeah, that's basically the New Japan, because the New Japan paper big shows are like 5 hours. But the thing with like the New Japan pay-per-views is, if you really, really don't want to watch the whole thing, you just basically have to guess when the main match starts. Yeah. Because they do all the main matches back-to-back.
Yeah, so usually you gotta, like, wait, like, if you're on the East Coast, wait, like, around, like, 5:30, or for, like, maybe the second half of, like, the show to start, or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, because, yeah, all the important matches are generally the last half of the show.
Right, right.
Which kind of helps you if you're pressed for time. But with WWE pay-per-views, you never know what the fucking lineup is going to actually be. You can miss, like, if you skip the first half of the show, you miss, like, the best, and you might actually really miss the best match of the show now.
Right.
Because they love opening the show up with the best match of the show and going downhill.
Yep.
Actually, now you might just want to watch the first half of the show and then quit.
Oh, man. But Money in the Bank, I can't miss that because they got two Money in the Bank matches.
Yes. And if it all works out, they will be on at a good time, and there will not be a Roman Reigns main event that has nothing to do with the show.
Yeah,
is he in the Money in the Bank match?
What
is Roman Reigns in the Money in the Bank match?
No, he's. I forgot to announce that it was. He is supposed to face Jinder Mahal at Money in the Bank.
Okay. If he main events this fucking show against Jinder, Jinder Mahal, I would not be surprised if half the crowd leaves now.
Don't hinder Jinder, man.
No, I'm not blaming Jinder. I'm blaming Roman Reigns. No, I'm really blaming WWE. But would you, if you had to pick a match to main event Money in the Bank, would it be Roman Reigns, Jinder Mahal? For nothing.
Oh, man. I don't know. Some dumb shit. Everything is dumb.
I can see them ending with AJ Styles versus Shinsuke Nakamura
last man standing. Yeah.
But, yeah, let's have the main event matches be a bit more important than two guys who dislike each other, unless it's a hatred like Gargano and Ciampa. That I can buy ending a show. But a Roman versus Samoa Joe or Roman versus Jinder, there's not enough legitimate hate grudge power right there in the main events. You gotta, you know, if you're gonna main event a show purely on a grudge, it's gotta be a storyline people give a damn about. Alright. Yeah.
Yeah. What else happened? Okay, oh yeah, going back to the Enzo shit, Don Callis apparently did not rule out hiring Enzo, basically saying that if he keeps his nose clean, he could use him. I don't know if Enzo would want to even bother to, wrestle again. I think he stated something about doing some stuff in the entertainment industry, which I don't know. He probably do some dumbass Instagram comedy or whatever. Because I know rapists do that shit all the time.
Don Callis' answer is way too like diplomatic. Like, he doesn't really want to talk about it. You know,
right?
What I mean?
Right.
Like if he said something negative, he'd like hell no. You know, there'd be all what's his name's fans would probably be complaining about shit. And,
yeah.
You know,
but at the same time.
You don't know how much power he actually has in the company anyway.
But at the same time, he has people like Sami Callihan and Rick Swann on the payroll.
True.
Yeah.
And
at some point, there was Bram who had that incident with Charlotte some years back.
Yeah, but that's not really kind of his, because Bram had been in and out of that company before him anyway.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah, well, the thing with... I it's hard for me to figure out. Like, with Sami Callihan's thing, you know, charges were dropped, and it had been several years, I guess. I don't know. It is still frustrating. Rich Swann is a little tougher because his wife works with the company.
Yeah.
And she's over. And I could see them like, well, we really like Sue Young, and if she's comfortable and everyone's comfortable. I mean, that's a really tricky situation. If it had just been Rich Swann and he had no connection, like that strong connection with someone on the roster, they probably wouldn't. They would have passed. At least I think so. Huh. It's a very tricky situation. Personally, I probably wouldn't book Rich Swann at least for another year or so.
Oh man, yeah.
But he's not having the sort of. And the weird is he's not sort of having as much of a negative reaction to him as, let's say, an Elgin does. And Elgin's crime was his verbal treatment, really. And I guess maybe mental treatment, too.
Yeah.
He didn't actually, physically assault anyone.
Yeah.
Not that I'm defending Elgin. I'm just...
Yeah, basically, yeah.
Two different kinds of crimes.
Yeah. Oh, man. One thing, I was scrolling down to Instagram, and it looks like David Arquette is training.
Yes.
Jesus.
Isn't that the best? It's finally going to be worth that fucking title.
Oh, man. I think he's training with Peter Avalon.
Yeah. Okay, I know who that is. He used to work for PWG, but a lot of
remember PP LA Ray, because it was PP Ray. It was him and Ray. I forgot what his other dude's last name was.
I thought they were an okay tag team. PWG's weird about tag teams, and they're weird about wrestlers from the West Coast.
Yeah, but yeah, he's been doing a lot of that CWF Hollywood shit. Peter Avalon for a while now. I think the Ray guy too.
Oh, good for them. They are, they get a certain amount of, CWA does whatever they're called. They do pretty well for themselves. People respect them. And I think they run more than PWG does.
Yeah. And they're on TV.
Yeah. I mean, PWG at this point is basically just like, I mean, they're happy being the super indie promotion, but the PWG really isn't going to lead to anything, I don't think. I mean, I guess to some degree, maybe it might help you get booked for other companies, but PWG isn't... I don't know. They're kind of stuck in their own bubble. You can't really rely on them to for continued bookings. They're just weird. And there's very little in the way of actual storylines for their company and all that stuff. Yeah. There's not enough meat in PWG, I guess.
Oh, yeah. What other shit happened? Did we talk about Kevin Owens? Apparently he has the 5-year contract now.
Yeah. I don't know if we mentioned it, but I didn't read about that.
Yeah, that was like a few, like maybe 2-3 weeks ago that we got news of that. I think he was interviewed and he mentioned it. But one other person who actually got a new contract was Big Show.
Really?
So apparently he signed a 3-year deal after the Royal Rumble. I think he wasn't at the greatest Royal Rumble because of the whole hip surgery dealio. But yeah, he's still signed for 3 more years. So we'll see how they use him between now and then in the end of his contract.
That reminds me, because he lost all that weight a little while ago. Bad Luck Fale's dropped, I think, about 40 pounds.
Oh, really? Because I haven't seen him in a while, really.
Yeah, he hasn't been, he's only been doing some of the major shows.
Yeah.
But if you follow his Instagram posts, he's been doing a lot of cardio, a lot of training. I think he said he lost, 20 kilograms.
Okay.
which is roughly over 40 pounds, if my bad math is right. But, yeah, so Fale is going to be better shape when you start seeing him more. I'm wondering if it's also he wants to get in better shape or obviously the G1 climax, because he usually, he's done, three or four years of those?
Yeah.
Maybe he's feeling he needs to get in better shape because they're taking a toll on him at his size.
Yeah.
I can't imagine doing that many singles matches and tag matches in that period of time against some of those guys. Yeah.
All right. What other business is going on? And Shane McMahon, he had hernia surgery, so.
Finally.
Yeah, finally got that shit.
I'm surprised he didn't book a match before his surgery.
I know that shit hurts. And besides that, Samoa Joe, he was interviewed and he said that he's actually allowed to mention TNA and ROH on WWE TV. That remains to be seen, but it's pretty cool.
Is he going to talk about his hour-long draw with Samoa Joe from Ring of Honor? I think they had an hour-long draw. I have that match somewhere.
Yeah, I don't remember that. I don't know. In other news, there was a wrestler who was beat up in, LA?
I think I know what you're talking about. I don't know where it was, but I saw some pictures and I said, that sucks.
Yeah, they beat the fuck out of him. I want to remember what his name is. Just, like, give me one hot second.
All right. And while he's looking, I will tell you that there's going to be a new Babysitter's Club TV show. Woo! Ooh.
Hold up. I don't even know what the fuck that is.
Oh, you don't know what the Babysitter's Club is?
Fuck no. That's some white girl shit?
It was a very popular series of books that started in the 1980s.
That's some white girl shit?
2000s. Huh?
Sound like some white girl shit.
Well, that's what most young adult books are.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, that, Sweet Valley High, Fear Street. Fear Street was by Arl Stein of the Goosebumps fame. But I vaguely remember, I don't know if I would say young adult, I would say it was probably like pre-teens.
Yeah.
But they had like a TV show and movies as well.
Yeah.
But okay. I just remember some girls used to read that stuff.
Yeah. Okay, so I got it pulled up. So the victim was a former wrestler / bodybuilder by the name of Tom Magee. Tom Magee. Basically, he was like a huge bodybuilder dude. Looked really, really similar to Ultimate Warrior. Got signed, like, I think a little before Ultimate Warrior. But as soon as they signed Ultimate Warrior, it was a wrap for him. So, they didn't want, I guess they didn't want two guys
that looked the same.
But I think there was, like, I think they said there was, like, some type of, like, hidden match in the 80s with him that people are still trying to find for years now or something like that. But yeah, he got his ass beat. He got his jaw broken and broken eye socket and a concussion. Like, I think they said neighbors or witnesses said that, yeah, it basically looked like attempted murder, because like they were literally stomping the fuck out of him. But two guys ended up getting taken into custody for it. Justin Lee, 20 years old, and D. Great Bryant, who's also 20. And it was basically over, like, parking. Because, like, apparently Tom Magee is one of those nosy neighborhood watch type dudes. And I guess they weren't having it. But it was, like, six dudes that beat the fuck out of him. They fucked him up.
They really need that many guys.
Oh, yeah. Hey, man, people don't play fair these days. And then,
I don't think they ever play fair
at
all.
You know how this shit works in groups? Like, one or two guys may start fighting, and then the other guys feel like, man, I want a piece of that. let me get my licks in too. That's usually what happens with this type of stuff.
There's a word for them. It's called cowards.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's the name of the game these days. And besides that, there was also some ENC Pod of Awesomeness stuff that's pretty entertaining. Renee Young was on the latest, one of the recent like episodes of Edging Christian's podcast, and she explained how she had heat with Jerry O'Connell.
Basically, the rundown.
Okay, how do you, okay, here's how it is. Okay, so basically the rundown is quoted as she quoted it basically saying, I still have Jerry O'Connell heat, which is super odd. Of course. It's so random and so bizarre. I used to have in my Twitter bio Canadian tuxedo aficionado, and I'm very afraid of Jerry O'Connell, which granted he does not know the context of this, which I will tell you the context of it is that he used to go on, or he still does, he go on the Wendy Williams show, which he actually does.
I think some people like him better than Wendy Williams.
Yeah, see, like, I think while Wendy was, like, off, like, on sabbatical or getting something fixed or whatever, like, he was actually the host for a little while. But, yeah, he go on Wendy Williams' show, and he just acts a fool. He's a wild man. He, like, does these characters, but the show that I was watching, he had, like, a borderline offensive Jerry curl happening. So I had been, like, tweeted about it and did an Instagram thing, like, what is going on? What is Jerry O'Connell doing? But I meant this out of love. He was ridiculous, but it was on the Wendy Williams show, so whatever. I had this on my bio for a long time, and then every now and then somebody would be like, what's the deal with Jerry O'Connell? And then they'd, like, tag him in it. This is not that long ago, actually, only a couple months ago, and he, like, retweeted something. I don't know. I've never met Renee Young. I don't know why she'd say that, especially in a time like this, meaning the hashtag MeToo movement. So I'm like, oh my god, dude, no, that's not at all what I meant. So I, like, messaged him and apologized for having said that, because I didn't want that to be misconstrued either. And then I was like, yeah, anyway, hopefully I get to meet you, whatever. Then he was backstage at the show in Anaheim, and I missed seeing him. So I messaged him, and it was like, hey, dude, I missed seeing you. He was like, yep, too bad. Anyways, real big fan. And just that was the end of the message. He real big fanned me, which means he hates my guts. Yeah. So he got scared and thought it was like some type of like Me Too shit.
It's probably like, I didn't do anything wrong. What the hell?
He's like, wait.
But
oh man.
Andrew O'Connell seems like a generally a decent
dude.
Yeah,
he seems like a nice dude.
Yeah.
He's still with Rebecca Romijn, right?
I believe so. I'm actually looking him up now. I used to watch the show Sliders every once in a while, too.
I forgot what that was about.
That was like the alternate reality show, where they kept going into the alternate versions of Earth, trying to find their way home. Yeah, that's right, he was in Jerry Maguire. He was also pretty good in Scream, too. Yep, still married to Rebecca Romijn.
Nice.
Two kids.
Nice.
Yeah, he's doing up pretty well for himself still.
Nice.
Oh, and I mean, he's one of those guys who probably doesn't really have to work too much, because technically he's still getting paid probably from Stand By Me, for God's sake.
Oh, hell yeah.
Paid from Jerry Maguire, paid for Scream 2. I'm looking at the list of some of those movies probably still got those fucking, you know, checks coming in. And he's doing quite a bit of voice acting for the DC animated films. He's in The Death of Superman. He's as Superman. He's done Superman's voice in a bunch of the shows.
Huh. I did not know that.
No, he did Cap. Interestingly enough, on the Superman Shazam short, he actually did Shazam's voice, Captain Marvel.
Oh, yeah, okay. I remember that one.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah, let me look. What's this? I don't know if Sliders is still airing. That didn't show him last long enough to have a real long syndication.
Yeah.
That's right, because he did Captain Marvel's voice in Justice League Unlimited. That was one of my favorite episodes.
Yeah.
When Shazam and Superman start throwing hands.
Yeah, right.
Superman got all concerned and shit. Oh, yeah, he's done a lot of random episodes of television, but he's probably one of those guys now where they just like, yo, here's some money to show up. Everyone likes you. And he's like, okay. Got to do my...
Oh, man. And then another...
Beckelman's got all that X-Men money, so, you know, they're all good.
Oh, yeah. And then another incident as chronicled by the Edge and Christian podcast, of Awesomeness podcast. Christian spoke about meeting Screech from Saved by the Bell at a WrestleMania and how the meeting didn't go smoothly. So he's quoted as saying... I met a Diamond once from Saved by the Bell, and I did call him Screech. I almost got in a big argument with Screech. So we were at WrestleMania in Anaheim, California. Whatever number that was. We stole the show, that's all that matters. And yeah, we got richer. So we were walking backstage earlier in the day. Like, I'm a huge Saved by the Bell fan. I love cheesy, corny, like, TV shows, right? So... I was a huge Saved by the Bell fan, still am. So I see Screech there. So I'm like, man, I walk up to him and say, excuse me, Screech. Oh, man, I'm such a big fan of you and the show. And he turns around and goes, yeah, okay. And turns back around. And I was kind of a dick. And he's backstage at our show. So Edge kind of goes, hey. So Edge, who is a bit of a hothead here, he goes, hey, mother effer. He goes, he's not trying to be a dick. He loves Saved by the Bell. He's a fan. And Sweet goes, oh, man, I'm sorry. I thought you were making fun of me. I was like, no, I wasn't. So then we started talking to him. We kind of hit it off and had a pretty funny conversation. And that was that. That's my Screech story. Yeah. See, a lot of these like guys from like the 80s and 90s, they are really testy about like people calling them by their character's name. So it's like him, Jaleel White being called Urkel and shit, you know?
Yeah, I don't know how to feel about that. Oh, a little bit about the O'Connell thing, the Death of Superman where he did Superman's voice. Rebecca Romijn did Lois Lane's voice in that one too.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, but yeah, I don't know with Urkel or Screech. I mean, I don't know if I feel like they should be like, hey, deal with it, or if I would be angry if I was in their position. I don't know. I guess it depends on how much money I made.
Yeah.
Like if I didn't really have to worry ever again, I'd have been like, hell yeah, it was fucking Urkel. Again, I made that Urkel money. Now, if I was Urkel and didn't make no money after like 20 years,
yeah,
maybe I'd be pissed.
Yeah. Oh, man. Okay, so the last bit of news I got is, of course, the alleged SmackDown acquisition by Fox for $1 billion.
And this is why they canceled all those shows.
Oh, yeah, somebody said, yeah, they nuked their Friday lineup just for SmackDown. Oh, man. But, yeah, SmackDown will most likely be on network TV, which is unprecedented because, shit, how long has it been since WWE's had anything weekly on national, like, network TV?
The last time... Well, I'm not sure you can count UPN as being that national, but that was the last time they were on basic television.
Yeah.
That was a long time ago.
That was a long time ago. And then between then and now, like, they had, like, a few spills on NBC or whatever, but other than that, no. But yeah, so people were joking about like how like, oh, if SmackDown is under Fox's umbrella and Fox ends up being acquired by Disney, Does that make Asuka a Disney princess? But yeah, of course, that doesn't make too much sense. But still, it's still kind of funny to think about. But did you hear about, like, Fox's rights of everything possibly not going to Disney and could end up going to, like, Comcast?
Fox is kind of, like, broken up into sections. So Disney's going to get, I think, the movie studio stuff. But I'm not sure. It's hard.
Because they were saying
I don't understand any of these fucking mergers or companies. I don't.
Because they were saying that Comcast is vying for both TV and movie rights. They're trying to like throw money at everything.
All right.
Yeah. So
I don't know how the I don't know unless they're going to work out a deal where Comcast gets all the dark PG-13 and R-rated shit, and then Disney gets all the nice stuff. I mean, and Marvel. That's the only thing I could think of. They were, you know. Because, I mean, my biggest concern about Disney owning Fox is what's going to happen to the stuff that isn't Disney-friendly. What happens to Alien and Predator, for God's sakes, right?
Yeah.
They can take Avatar, because I don't give a fuck about Avatar. Everybody should drop Avatar.
Yeah. Do you think nowadays Fox's, like, Marvel properties would be better off, like, with Fox and away from the Disney shit?
I think that the problem with, I think in like 6 or 7 years, Disney doing the X-Men movies would make sense, because by then kind of went through their Avengers stuff, and most of those guys are leaving now. Now, that my problem with them getting it now is, do they just stop making X-Men movies, because you're not going to really have X-Men movies for a while then. And I don't know if they're lying when they say they have no plans to do any X-Men stuff, but it wouldn't surprise me if they don't, because, yeah. They rushed to get Spider-Man on there, but Spider-Man has at least some connection with the Avengers.
Right.
The X-Men's biggest connection with the Avengers is that they don't like each other, essentially. I mean, I guess the Beast was an Avenger, and, you know, it would have made it easier to do Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver, but that doesn't matter now. But, yeah, like, if they get the Marvel movies now, I don't see the X-Men really doing anything for a good 4 years. And right now, the X-Men stuff has been very, some of the more interesting superhero stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, Deadpool is on top. Logan was great. I mean, I've liked the last few X-Men movies, even if they're not that great. I'm still, you know, very much interested into them.
Yeah.
I mean, I like parts of Apocalypse. And, I mean, I liked the cast that played the kids, too. I'm very much interested in Dark Phoenix, and I love that cameo in Deadpool when they showed up.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. So you saw Deadpool, too.
Yeah, I had to wait till Sunday, because I wanted to see it with my brother, and then you got to see it with his friend, so.
Yeah.
If I had my way, I would have saw it Friday,
So what did you think of it?
I liked it. I think that the first movie is probably a better story, but the second movie is so over-the-top fun that they kind of work out both
right. pretty well. Yeah, exactly. I think that's most of the general senses of it.
Yeah. Because there are decisions in the second movie that, you know, seem to, that seems typical of superhero movies. I mean, in the motivations for some of the characters.
Right.
But I liked seeing the craziness. I liked the cameos. Domino was fucking fantastic.
Yes.
Cable was really, really good. I don't know if we should do spoilers, but the bad guy was nice seeing him.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, like, he was... I was surprised. I was actually shocked. I did not see it coming. I did not even think of that, who it was. I thought it was just, like, some type of, like, regular-ass monster or whatever. A mutant that they kind of like threw in there, but to have him appear was like, damn. And they did it. They did him justice. I really felt like they did him justice. A lot better than fucking X3.
Yeah, yeah. Deadpool has sort of, in a way, helped correct the timeline. Just kind of like how X-Men Days of the Future tried to correct the timeline, too.
Yeah.
They, you know, by fixing certain ways things work, and then Deadpool 2 came in and fixed other things. I mean, in a lot of ways, these last several movies in the Fox canon have really done the X-Men justice. I venture to say that even like the bad X-Men movies now are probably more fun to watch than a lot of the early X-Men films.
Yeah.
Like, I liked X2 quite a bit, but I'm probably more likely to watch, like, X-Men First Class or even Apocalypse, which I don't really like Apocalypse, but there's so... Like, the middle section of that movie is so fucking good.
Yeah.
If they would have kept the mall montage scene, which... You've seen the deleted feature for the mall sequence, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, if they would have kept that in, that could have been, like, the best middle of a movie. And a lot of times when movies... It's the middle that things break apart. But this middle, you had Weapon X, you had the Quicksilver sequence. It just had a great middle section of that movie. And the kids looked like they were having fun, too. And Nightcrawler looked fucking great.
Yep.
And he had the Michael Jackson jacket. You know, that I'm always a mark for that shit.
Hell yeah.
My king.
Oh, yeah. Did you hear about Watchmen?
Yeah. I don't know.
I don't, because like, they just cast like Regina King and Don Johnson.
Yeah, it's an interesting cast, but I got it to the point where I don't even know if I really care enough. I mean, I liked Watchmen the time I read it, but every other time I read it, I'm like, yeah, whatever. It's kind of, it's not a fun read.
It's more of a labored read.
Like, the first time you read it, it's like, wow, this is great. And then the second time you read it, like, yeah, I'm going to read something funner. There's no fun. And, I mean, there's material that's dark that's still fun. But The Watchmen is such a deep, complex read. And ultimately, you hate most of the characters. I mean, even Rorschach, which in theory is a pretty cool character.
Oh, he is a dickhead.
He is a fucking dickhead. I mean, he's a piece of shit. I mean, you like that him compared to other heroes because he comes off as a bit more like a vigilante probably would act.
Yeah.
But he's such a fucking dickhead. So it's... You kind of have a mixed response to it. I guess Night Owl's okay.
Yeah, yeah, I like Night Owl. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's kind of a troubled thing. And at some point, I just stopped caring about everything Alan Moore says or does because he pisses me off. Even though I recognize how good he is, and he wrote probably my favorite Wildcat run. And his Superman stuff is fantastic, but I fucking don't like to deal with Alan Moore. Guy, I get it. DC fucking screwed you over. Everybody gets screwed over in comics. It sucks. But calm the fuck down about people stealing your ideas. It's superhero comics. Everybody reuses everybody's ideas continuously. That's what... You did that shit. Yeah.
Yeah.
But... Who knows? It's HBO. I'll probably give it a season to see what happens. But all I care about right now on HBO is Westworld, so...
Oh, yeah. Shit, I just saw the... Well, actually, scratch that. I'm only, like, halfway through the episode because, like, I haven't had time to see shit. Like, because I've been training this one girl to do her fucking job now that I don't have to work for two divisions anymore, but like at the same time, like still fucking waiting to be moved back to where I used to be. So, but yeah, I've only seen like half of the new episode with fucking Shogun World and shit, so that's pissing me off.
Yeah, and the Shogun World stuff looks nice.
Yeah,
that's been some good stuff. And to try to take it back to wrestling, GLOW is happening next month, I guess. So.
Oh, yeah, that's, what, June 29th or something like that?
Yeah, that, Luke Cage in the same month.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, speaking of HBO. Luke Cage, I saw, clip that they just posted, and dialogue is bad. It's so corny. It's, like, so corny. Like... Oh, like, from him, the neighbors, the residents of Harlem, and shit, it just sounded so corny. Like, it sounded like an afternoon special.
You think someone on the Disney side said, you guys said nigga too much? make this a little nicer.
Oh, no, no. That's the thing. Like, there, one of the characters was cursing up a storm.
Oh.
And, like, right next to Luke, and Luke wasn't, like, being, like, stop cursing and all that stuff like that. But, like, but the way that everybody were delivering what they were saying was, like, really, really fucking corny. Yeah. It was like one of those, like, I want to say one of those, like, black plays. I don't want to be...
Minstrels?
No. Like, modern shit.
Oh, the ones they advertise on your local or oldies radio station.
Yeah.
And they'd be acting like a legendary stage actor such and such. You're like, I never heard of this motherfucker ever.
Yeah, it's like that shit. Like, they're acting like...
So that happens in your neighborhood, too, then, okay?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Because I'd be in my mom's car, and they'd be like...
They'll have shit at the fucking, like, Hippodrome Theater and shit like that, and they'll have these black plays, and
it's always about a woman who's, you know...
Everybody's struggling.
There's the fucking dude in there who's, like, not a good father or some shit.
Yeah.
Like, okay. Maybe Vivica A. Fox is starring on the one in it. Who knows? Or she just does the BET adaptation. And that's the true story. I think she's actually been in the adaptation of some of those black plays on BET. I don't know. But no, I get it. See, you need Luke Cage needed to, bring it. I mean, Black Lightning came out the gate and hit that shit hard.
Yeah, and, like, to be honest, Black Lightning showed signs of that as well, with some of the dialogue, but I kind of gave it a pass because it's CW.
Yeah, and even though it's, I would argue probably more people might have Netflix, CW is more accessible to more people. They have to work within the rule, certain rules, but yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah, Black Lightning, man, that was...
I like that. I like the show. I thought it was dope. Yeah, okay, so, yeah, that's all I got.
God, I don't even want to know about the skyscraper movie with Dwayne Johnson. Why are you fighting a skyscraper?
One
leg, yeah.
Yeah. Yo, man. Interesting.
It's a new trailer tomorrow.
Yeah. I don't know. I might go see it anyway.
Because it might be so fun.
Yeah, man. Like... I saw Rampage.
Rampage was fun.
It was a fun watch. It wasn't like the perfect movie, but it was a fun watch.
The highest rated superhero adaptation on Rotten Tomatoes, I think.
The highest? You mean video game?
Video game. Yeah, yeah. Sorry.
Yeah.
And the special effects for Rampage were good. They got a good Weta Workshop did the monsters, and they're usually on point with their character monster designs.
Yeah.
So, you know, that was a good picture.
Yeah.
But, you know, I like him fighting monsters, him fighting a skyscraper. Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah.
I still don't know how one watches Oriental Wrestling Entertainment, but you got the GIF makers are now GIFing the fuck out of them.
Yeah, I saw... Okay, so it's on one weird, like website. I'll send you the link to it. But it's really, it's in Chinese, of course, so you gotta, like, do the whole Google Translate shit to kind of see what's going on. But, yeah, I watched some of it. I haven't finished watching it, but, like, yeah, they're really, really green. Besides, like, the crazy moves that they do, they're really green.
Yeah, that's the worry about them coming out.
And, like, they really emphasize on the entertainment in the show.
Anything that gets pro wrestling in China, I think that probably was the struggle that a lot of the companies at Evolve tried too hard to be pure wrestling. Same with NWA. Yeah. WWE, I think their storylines would be harder to connect with the Chinese audience, which has been the problem. But
because OWE had this whole, like, big, like, intro thing with all the guys in tracksuits doing flips and head flips and headstands and all this other crazy shit. And then at some point during the show, they had like a Chinese pop group singing, like a girl Chinese girl pop group singing. It was and then of course they had people from Dragon Gate popping up, pushing folks around, attacking other folks, and all that shit like that. But yeah, that's what it was.
Yeah, and for those who don't know, OWE is basically China's offering to the world of professional wrestling.
Yeah.
And I think they just trained a bunch of Shaolin monks.
Yeah. Yeah, basically.
And these guys are fast and they do a lot of high flying, but like you said, they're green.
Yeah.
It's a new product, and China's wrestling community has been trying to build over the last few years, so
yeah.
This is a big jump for them.
Yeah. Is that their first one?
No, there's been other Chinese wrestling promotions, but they've been very small, because like Ho Ho Lun had to basically start his own company.
Well, technically his doesn't count because it's Hong Kong. Hong Kong is a weird thing because it's part of China, but it's not part of China. You know?
Yeah.
Just look it up. I don't know.
My understanding is there was like a weird period of time, but technically, I mean, where it wasn't, but I mean, I guess they still kind of don't connect the two. Hong Kong is weird, but China's still the governing, country thing. And I believe that, Hong Kong is slowly adapting to like certain things, like the languages, are becoming more connected.
Right, because they have two main languages. It's Cantonese and Mandarin.
Yeah, but there's like also like dozens of other ones.
Other dialects.
And versions of those, too.
Yeah, dialects, yeah.
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 It says, though, he actually started in 2007. He worked for one called China Wrestling Entertainment. That was outside of Hong Kong, though.
Oh, okay.
So, and then I guess he traveled back and forth between Guangzhou, China, where China Wrestling Entertainment was, and Hong Kong, where he kind of did the Hong Kong thing. But he was wrestling, so I guess there was at least one or two promotions outside of Hong Kong Central. But OWE is really the one that's really bursting out right now.
Oh, okay.
But they basically figured out what they wanted to do, and it's working for them. Cool. Alright, cool. Yeah. So, we're done, I guess.
Yeah.
Gotta get to my movie for the day. I don't know what I want to watch.
Alright. Let me just run down some shit. Ranting Radio. Ranting Radio on Twitter. You can check us out Thursdays, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, or EDT, whatever. And including the other shows like The Rant, Turnbuckle Throwbacks, yada, yada, yada. For me, doomsday519.tumblr.com, at Joy Doomsday on Twitter, doomsday_519 on YouTube is my primary channel, secondary channel Doomsday Gorilla, spelled as in PWG's Gorilla, Doomsday Gorilla on Instagram, and at Joy Doomsday 519 on Snapchat. And if you need him, you'll find him.
Yeah, I'm on the internet somewhere.
Yeah, Carl, CM Towns, Westside.golf.
Random plug. If you like the classic movie Psycho, check out a film called Peeping Tom. I just watched it for the Faculty Horror podcast. And it was a movie that came out actually before Psycho. So it was a proto-slasher. It's a very interesting film. It only ran 5 days before it got pulled in England. It killed the director's career, and it only is known now because Martin Scorsese was a big fan of the director and saved the only print of the film.
Thanks. You know, I heard of that film, but like, of course, I never saw it. But I heard of it. Peeping Tom. Yeah.
Yeah, I stole it because I steal most of my movies.
Nice. I haven't stolen.
I was like, I don't know if this exists anywhere. It took me a while to find a place.
I haven't stolen anything in a long time because, like, at some point, I was like doing a whole bunch of like torrenting and shit, and like, I kept getting strikes, so I was like, alright, I'm done. It was mostly on TV shows. Basically all on TV shows. Yeah. So, like, basically the networks should keep track of a lot of that stuff.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever gotten a strike for anything. Ever.
Yeah,
Yeah, all of it was TV shows.
Yeah, I think it might have been some HBO stuff. Because they're hard pressed on that stuff.
I haven't stole any HBO, but that reminds me, I got to steal the recent Legion. I still haven't. I'm still 5-8 episodes behind. So.
Oh really? So yeah. So I finally caught up on last week's episode. Now I got to watch this episode.
Yeah, I only watched the first two episodes, and now I have like them all both on my DVR. I've also been downloading them. Oh, and I got reminded of myself. Got to tape Krypton tonight too.
Oh, I'm really behind on that show.
Yeah, that show got real crazy.
Yeah, I heard there's like a season two, so I'm definitely gonna try to catch up if possible.
Yeah, it's been a fun ride. All right, but well, yeah. That's it.
Yeah. So, hey, smoke weed every day.